Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez at Good to Be Social. And today we're going to be talking about how to run your law firm more efficiently and how to discover innovative ways to improve the way you provide legal services. Our guest today is Justin Stivers. Justin is the founder and owner of The Probate Law Firm, a law firm dedicated to probate and estate planning based out of Miami, Florida. Justin is all about making the legal process simple and easy for the consumer and is constantly looking for efficient and innovative ways to improve the way legal services are sold and delivered. Justin describes himself as a business person first, who just happens to be a lawyer. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Hey, Guy. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure having you here. So before we dive in, why don't you give us a little bit more background on yourself? You know, why did you decide to go to law school? And why do you think of yourself more as a business person first and a lawyer second?
Yeah, so background, first lawyer in my family, first one to graduate from college, did undergrad in North Carolina, lived in Honduras for a couple of years, was actually in the Peace Corps prior to going to law school, and just kind of fell into law school, honestly. Probably like a lot of lawyers, they hear the phrase, go to law school, you can do anything with a law degree, which I still don't know that I agree with that, but... So ended up in law school, came to University of Miami, and have been practicing for several years now. So honestly, just kind of fell into it, was going to go the international development route and just didn't work out. And happy I made the decision to go to law school. So that's kind of the background. But the business part of it is, I think I've always had this entrepreneurial spirit in me to some degree. But when you're in law school, you really aren't obviously taught, or maybe not so obviously, but you're not taught anything about marketing, anything about running a business. It's really just, you know, frankly, in law school, just get the top grades, go try to work at a big law firm. Mm-hmm. But you're really not taught about anything about, you know, how to run a law firm if that's the route you choose to go. And I, you know, had a series of unfortunate events at law firms that really worked out for me. One of them filed for bankruptcy, just a bunch of different things that happened that kind of forced my hand into starting my own law firm. And, you know, I think that to me, I see doing the legal work as a given. You have to know what you're doing, right? You have to be competent. You can't just go out there doing shoddy legal work or you're going to get, you're not going to get referrals and you're going to get, you know, complaints. So that's a given. But the other aspect of it is it really is a business. I mean, it really, in my opinion, it really is. You have to get clients, you have to manage a team, you have to do admin, you have to run payroll. I mean, all these things that, again, are not taught in law school. And so I just guess I kind of gravitate towards the running of a business. And I often find myself thinking, you know, I probably could in another life take all the skill sets, all the things that I'm doing right now, marketing, advertising, you know, managing a team, scaling, all of those things. I could probably take it from where I'm at right now and put me into a different industry. And I think I could do the same sort of thing. It just happens to be legal services right now.
No, that's exactly what I did. So I hear you. Yeah, you're right. They don't teach you how to run a business in law school. They don't really teach you much about business at all. And I find that that's actually a pretty big disadvantage a lot of times for lawyers. I agree with you that, you know, doing good work is almost a given. Clients expect you to do good work. It's really, what are you doing beyond that? How are you providing additional value? And, you know, how are you differentiating yourself from all other lawyers out there and all other firms? So what have you found specifically from a marketing and business development perspective? What have you tried and what has worked and maybe what hasn't worked?
I mean, I think the biggest thing, and this isn't maybe not a shock to people, but you have to get your name out there. You have to be known. And I think I try a bunch of different things. And I pivot if something, you know, I guess you have to define what works and what doesn't work and how you define that. Because to me, if something, quote unquote, doesn't work, it didn't lead to business, you know, mark it off the list and, you know, maybe you move on to the next thing and there's sort of a benefit in that. I think just from my experience, it kind of comes in stages, the marketing aspect. When you first start out, when I first started out, you know, you're not, you know, having a large bankroll behind you to go out and throw a lot of money at pay-per-click or Google ads or Facebook ads or whatever. You're kind of stuck to going out and networking and meeting people and going to the bar events and lunches and breakfasts and happy hours and all that sort of stuff, which lawyers, I think, that kind of gravitate towards that anyways. That's a lot of what the bar events, the bar functions, or bar associations kind of push. And I think that's huge. I don't want to discredit that. I think you have to get out there and you have to get known and you have to get your name out there. But then in my experience, there kind of comes a shift, because once you've gotten over that first initial of hurdle of, you know, oh crap, I don't have any cases coming in. Once you have cases coming in and you've got some work, your time is kind of consumed by partly that. And you can only do so many lunches, so many breakfasts, so many happy hours before you're just burnt out. So you have to kind of find a way to scale yourself. And so I've done that a couple different ways. I think social media is huge. I think social media is, there's a lot of different ways that you can play in that space. It can be paid, it can be unpaid. But at a minimum, I think you got to be putting yourself out there and advertising yourself. And it doesn't have to be you with a mean face saying, you know, we only get paid if you get paid sort of thing. People want to see you, who you are, what you do. You know, maybe not necessarily what you ate for lunch and food pictures and stuff like that, but they want to put a face with a name. And so I think that has been huge. And then again, from my experience, is after you've gone out and you've made all these connections, what are you doing to keep in contact with them? What are you doing to, you know, maintain those relationships? And so social media, again, is a great way to, you can't, once you've got a database of, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000, whatever it is, you can't go have lunch with all those people regularly. But social media is a great way for you to kind of maintain some type of connection with them. And then me personally, we do, you know, we do print newsletters, we do multiple e-newsletters, you know, we do referral source events. And so just always trying to find ways to again, keep in contact. And then, you know, once you've kind of got that, keep cultivating those relationships, then you can, I think, expand into, you know, maybe the pay-per-click, the Google ads, that space where, you know, people don't know you and you're kind of just coming up with different campaigns to see what works. But definitely not what you want to start with unless you've got the budget to do so.
Yeah, I love it. One thing you said really resonates with me. We work with a lot of lawyers and law firms, and you know, a lot of times there's this misconception that social media is just another channel where, you know, you can just post your content or your press releases or your award news or whatever it is. And there's certainly a place for that. But, you know, I agree with what you're saying. Social media is a very efficient way to not only stay in touch with your network, but also to enhance the relationship of that network and to strategically grow that network. So, you know, there's a social element to social media. That's why it's called social media, right? Which social media channel have you found to be the most successful for you guys?
Well, we're on, I think, all of them. I even have a TikTok account.
Nice.
But that one's been challenging for me to get my head around. But so Facebook is great because I think most people have a Facebook account, and you know, depending on your demographic, if legals, depending on what type of legal services you do, I think Facebook tends to skew not necessarily too old, but a little bit older. I think it's just a great way to get out there. Instagram has been great for us. I'm seeing a lot of younger attorneys on there. And we actually just yesterday, I had someone who's followed us for a while, happens to be down the street. I don't know her personally, has been following our account and referred us a client. I see a lot of attorneys on there. I think that's a great space. You know, everyone always touts LinkedIn. That's been my least successful channel. I get a lot of people soliciting me on there, but other professionals wanting to have lunch or whatever they're promising me, but I really don't get a whole, I mean, we're on there, we're active on there, but I really don't get any direct business from there. And I've been pushing YouTube a lot lately as well, to just try to put content, put videos on there, because again, it depends on the type of industry that you're in. Mine specifically is very content based, mm-hmm. wills and trust, and then what happens when people pass away. So it's a topic that is people are searching for. They're looking for information. I mean, this is with most attorneys, most legal fields, but they're looking for information. So we use that as just kind of social proof. And I had a potential client yesterday that I was speaking with, and she had a consultation with us, didn't hire us on the spot. I was following up with her as part of our follow-up process, and I called her, and she was watching a video of mine on YouTube and signed up over the phone. And I was just like, okay, this works.
Fantastic.
This works.
Fantastic. That's a great story. So what do you say to the lawyer, and I talk to them all the time, that says, you know what, I don't have time to do this. I'm too busy practicing law, and, you know, I'll just hire a marketing person to do it for me. What do you say to that?
I mean, how much work do they want? Do they want to get business? I mean, they're happy where they're at. I don't think you can ignore it. I think you have to have something. I think mm-hmm. having, whether it's an agency, whether it's an assistant, whatever it is, a marketing director, good. Those are great things, but they can only capture your voice and your, persona to a certain degree. Right. And so, I have a full-time marketing assistant, and he helps me, manage a lot. Like, I'm not sitting behind my phone every day posting out, every single day, right? I'll take a day, I'll film a bunch of content. He uploads it, he edits it, he, does what he does. Like, I don't have any interest. I don't really want to do that, but he does that. But, it's me doing the videos and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think, I think for certain things like that, yeah, sure. You don't need to learn how to do that. You don't need to and outsource that. But, I think there needs to be a good mix of content-based stuff that you're educating the public, that you're getting out there. And yeah, I think an agency or your in-house can help with that. But, I get as part of, one of the things that I do is a monthly e-newsletter that I personally write. And it's mm-hmm. usually very personal. It's usually, me and my wife were on vacation last week. And so I was writing about that, and I scuba dive, and I was posting pictures, and I got, a ton of just people sending me emails about, hey, I scuba dive too. A lot of people I don't even know. They just happen to be on my list and are emailing me, like they feel connected with me. And that, that's hard to capture. I think that's hard for somebody else to capture your voice.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So as an owner of a law firm, first of all, what do you think the main role of a owner of a law firm should be overall, and then specifically as it relates to marketing and business development?
Well, you have to be intentional about it. And you have to, I think the first step is, admitting that you have a problem, right? know that you need help with it. Know that you need to do it. Know that it mm-hmm. is something that, because I've spoken with older and, more seasoned attorney and even newer attorneys. And sometimes I'll ask them, how do you get business? And they'll just say, oh, I just do a really good job for my clients. And it's like, yeah, that works, but you got to be doing something else, right? You have
Absolutely.
To be keeping in contact. You have to be keeping in contact with them. So, mm-hmm. I think you have to kind of decide. And I told an associate this, is your main goal, do you just want to be the best attorney out there in your specific field? You don't want to have to work for the cases to come in. You just want a stack of cases to come to you and you work them. If you do, then you maybe don't want to own a law firm, because that's, I don't think they go hand in hand. I think if you want to be a great attorney, you can still run a law firm. I'm not saying that. But if you don't want to, if you want to kind of put marketing out of your mind, then I don't know that you can have an extremely successful business, right? I guess it varies on the level of success and what your goals and everything are, but you have to be intentional about it. So for someone who's asking that, I would say, look at your current situation, look at what you're marketing, what you're currently doing. And if you're not happy with your situation and you're not marketing, there's probably some sort of correlation there.
Yeah. And then, for lawyers, I talk to a lot of lawyers, and one of the things they struggle is finding time to do all the things they need to do. And typically marketing is the last thing they get. So how do you manage your calendar? How do you find the time to make sure that you're doing your newsletter once a month and shooting the videos and all of those things? What exactly works for you?
I am extremely militant about my time. And I think that's a, you know, a characteristic, a trait that I've maybe had a little bit, but I've developed and improved upon over, you know, the past several years, where I script out my day almost to the, you know, every 15 minutes, and no exaggeration. I mean, I really keep track of my time. I don't take unexpected phone calls unless, you know, an emergency, and that I even define what an emergency is in that case. And so I'm very militant with my time. Obviously, we all have the same amount of time, right? There's only so many hours in a week, and, you know, you probably don't want to be working 7 days a week for, you know, extended amounts of time. So part of it is just schedule out your day, right? Don't have white space on your calendar. Know exactly what you're going to do. At some point, you have to have people that help you, right? And so you leverage your time that way. I mean, I remember very clearly when I first started my firm, it got to a point where I was going to the post office to do things, and I just almost lost it. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore if I have to go to the post office again. Like, I'm just not doing this. Mm. Answering my phones, that was one of the first things that I was like, I just, you know, I can't be working on stuff and taking incoming calls. So I started with a call center, and then I got a secretary, and then, you know, the legal work. And then I realized, so a large part of it is just adding people that allow you to do things for you. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. I think find people to be able to leverage your time, but be very militant about your time and be very intentional about your time. I have a bunch of systems. One of my favorite systems that I've been using for probably 2 years now is almost without fail, and I even do this on the weekends, before I kind of wrap up for the day, before I leave the office, before I go to sleep, I take a look at my calendar. I kind of take a look at like my task list. Asana is what I use for that. I take out a note card and I manually handwrite kind of like 5 a.m. wake up, 5:30 go for whatever it is. I write it through the day, and I carry that note card with me in my pocket. And as I finish things, I mark through it. And there's just something kind of therapeutic about like, hey, I assigned this to myself. I did it, move on to the next thing. And so that's, you know, there's a bunch of little hacks like that, but that's been a big takeaway for me, or something that's really worked for me.
I love it. That's a great advice for anyone, not just lawyers, that are looking to maximize every day and focus on the things that are most important. So that's great. Let me ask you another question. So you mentioned staying in touch with people. And, you know, we all know, you know, just because you write a blog post or you record a video, or, you know, even if you do a webinar or something, it doesn't mean that someone that reads it or registers for it are necessarily ready to hire you. What's your strategy when it comes to keeping top of mind with people? How do you stay in touch with them so that when the timing is right, you know, they're going to think of you first?
Yeah, I love this. And I was having this conversation with a newer associate, and he's doing some sales calls for me. And, you know, it's funny, he'll have a phone call with about 60 days in. And so he's just now starting to do some consultations, and he'll do a sales call. And then he'll message me and say, hey, had a really great feeling about this. They were really happy with me. And I'm like, well, did they give you the credit card? He's like, no, but they're going. I'm like, okay, well, let's see. And so I walked him through, you know, I have a CRM that we use, client relationship management system that we use. And we do a lot, just drip campaigns, email after email. We add in their phone calls. And I've heard a bunch of different stats. But I think, you know, one I've heard is it takes about 12 different touches with a buyer for them to convert. And that might be a print newsletter, an e-newsletter, phone call, text, whatever it is. And I've found that to be true. And so we had a client, and I was, you know, that came through this system, and I walked my associate through it, and I go, look at all the emails that they've gotten since, I don't remember when it was, 2 months ago, let's say. Look at all the emails. You can tell that they've opened it. Look at all the phone calls we've had following up with them. And then finally, on this date, they hired us. And I said, listen, there's probably very, very few law firms and maybe even businesses that have this amount of, you know, follow-ups. But that's key, because, yeah, you might have a phone call with someone. It goes great. Depending on what you're selling, or, you know, the price or the buyer, some people just aren't going to buy right away. Most people won't. They need follow-up. And for me, we do all phone consultations. I don't even do in-person consultations. So these are people who, you know, they don't see us, they don't know us. They need to build trust. So So we do a lot of follow-up, email follow-ups. Phone calls are fantastic. Like, don't neglect the phone call, but do emails as well. And then again, that kind of also goes to the social media proof where people are looking you up. And so if they had a phone call with you and then they, you know, go to Facebook, go to LinkedIn, go to wherever, and they don't see you, or they see your last post was from 2012, you know, it just, in today's age, it doesn't look good. So,
yeah.
So I think, I mean, yeah, follow-up's key.
Awesome. All right. We have time for one last question, and then unfortunately I'm going to let you go. So obviously, you know, you've kind of built your firm. How many people do you have working for you right now?
We've got 7 people.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things I hear from a lot of lawyers, especially lawyers that own their firm or are managing partners of a firm, is, you know, the struggle that they have in teaching their associates how to do business development, how to have an entrepreneurial mindset. And as you said, they don't teach you that in law school. So what have you found to be successful in helping your young associates, you know, learn the business development sales process, and any insights you can share that would be useful to our audience?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I think as much as you can, and I guess if you're talking about the sales calls or doing the consultations, script out as much as you can. So I like to have, you know, and it doesn't have to, I mean, it maybe can be word for word, this is what I want you to say in the very beginning, but have a roadmap of how to walk the prospect through your sales process. And I think I'm a big believer in coaching and training. And so find some sort of sales organization, doesn't have to be legal sales training, and have your associate dedicate some sort of time to that is huge. The business development is difficult, but I think if you can tell them, hey, this job is directly related to the business that we have, that can resonate with them. And I think especially if most law firms get a lot of business from other attorneys, and attorneys generally like to talk shop with other attorneys. So for me, for example, you know, I've got a large network of referral sources and people. And, you know, they're my people. You know, I know them well. I play golf with them, whatever it is. They're my relationships. I'm not concerned about my associate running off with someone I've known for, you know, 10 years or whatever it is. But bring them into the fold. And I think I find like the associates like to have that interaction. It makes them feel important, feels a part of the team. And I think they value that. So that's one way. Whether, I mean, it depends on the position. If you're bringing in someone who's just a, you know, you just need them doing the work, being a grinder, then that's what you can do. If you need someone who's actually like a business development, then that's a different skill set that I think you have to teach them. Maybe that's the biggest point, is not everybody is both. I think that's almost the unicorn. Most lawyers are one or the other. And you'll probably find more of them that are just the grinder, want to do the work.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. But before I let you go, would you have one word of advice for either a young lawyer that is, you know, just starting his practice, or maybe a lawyer that left a bigger firm and is looking to start fresh? What would you advise them to do?
Yeah, one of the things that I do now on a weekly basis is I put time on my calendar and I call it big picture thinking. And I just kind of sit there, you know, wherever I'm, if I'm at a coffee shop or wherever I'm doing this at, and I just kind of let myself think about, hey, where am I at now? What do I want my business to look like? What do I want my life to look like in, you know, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and just kind of try to map that out. And I think that's been very helpful for me from just a business perspective of, you know, if you're going to start your own firm, or if you've already got your own firm, be very intentional about what you want to do and then work your way back from there. And I think a lot of lawyers just kind of, you know, they get in the day to day, they just run, but never really stop and think, and never really, you know, like what you said, you know, I don't have time. I don't have time to do this. Well, make time to come up with a plan. Otherwise you're just spinning your wheel. So I think, you know, that's something that's been very valuable for me, is being intentional and coming up with plans for all aspects of my life, really.
Awesome. All right, Justin. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been really a pleasure. And, you know, some of the advice that you've given and some of the things you've done are pretty amazing. So thank you for that. For our listeners, if you enjoyed today's episode and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there with whatever channel you like to listen to podcasts to. You can also listen to some of our great past episodes. Justin, thank you again for being on the show. We're going to add your website address, your LinkedIn, and your Twitter handle on the show notes. And maybe we'll have you back sometime in the future. Thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, guys. Fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. And have a great day.